Sorry, that was my yawn.
Are you a little tired this morning, Jim?
I'm a little tired, Courtney. I'm doing so much. I have so many projects on my desk, so it's a long to-do list, and I got family home stuff, and I'm not getting to the gym like I used to. I just feel exhausted.
Well, I'm sorry first. It's not a fun place to be.
Thank you.
But silver lining, I think our guest today might actually be able to sort of help you see the light at the end of the tunnel or find your way there at least.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
Well, let me look at this bio that you sent me here. Oh, this is the Mark Height Day. Is that right?
It's Mark Height Day.
Ooh. Well, for those who don't know, Mark Height is the Chief Learning Officer and founder of Game Plan Leader. Mark just published his first book with Advantage's Forbes book entitled Rescuing the Corporate Exhausted Hero. His passion is helping to eliminate exhaustion from corporate America by evaluating the ability of leaders to create vision, influence, change, coach, and delegate. Mark has held senior level, I am tired. Senior level positions leading the strategy and execution of talent development, talent management, talent acquisition, and talent engagement at large companies, including Target, Red Robin Gourmet Burgers, yummy, DCP Midstream, and Sports Authority. As a leadership development consultant, he has experience building customized leadership development programs and conducting leadership coaching in corporate, retail, government, healthcare, manufacturing, media, and financial services. He's done a lot.
He has.
You can get exhausted just reading his bio. I hope he brings some energy to me to wake us up, wake me up rather. I guess we'll find out after this. You are listening to Tribe Pod, a podcast series of interviews of interest to the HR community. It is hosted by Courtney Lane, produced by Jim Stroud, sponsored by Proactive Talent, and enjoyed by you. Today's episode begins right after this.
On-demand recruiting is an hourly service that we offer where our recruiters work as an extension of your business, helping to fill your positions by finding top talent.
So on-demand recruiting is there to address issues in hiring when a company is experiencing a lot of growth, when they're having some seasonality changes where they may temporarily need to expand their recruiting team. You maybe have a new line of business or a space where you're expanding your business and you need to bring in specialty expertise to help fill those niche roles that your internal team may not yet be ramped up on.
Proactive Talent's on-demand recruiting solution is quite different from a lot of the other models that you're going to see in the workplace. Whereas you're going to pay a contingency recruiting firm, typically on average around 20%, sometimes up to 30% of the first year salary of the person that you hire. And in that same period of time, you'll spend less than a quarter of that with Proactive Talent's managed on-demand.
For more information on Proactive Talent, visit them online at proactivetalent.com or click the link in the podcast description.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Tripod. We are excited to get started today. I have Mark Height, talent expert, executive coach, and author of Rescuing the Corporate Exhausted Hero with me today. Welcome, Mark. We're so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Courtney. Excited to be a part of it.
So just to start things off, to help provide context to the conversation and before we really start to dig into what the exhausted hero is, tell us a little bit about you. Like, I want to hear a little bit of your journey. How did you get to this point where you even wrote this book?
Yeah, thank you. I'm based in Denver, Colorado. I'm an executive coach and leadership development specialist. I spent about 20 years in corporate America working for really large firms like Target Corporation, DCP Midstream, which is a large natural gas company, in the restaurant industry, been in a lot of different industries, and started on more of the supply chain and business side of things, and then switched over to HR and from an HR standpoint, have built high potential programs at different companies, built internal coaching programs at different companies. And just in the last few years, I've decided, you know, I want to take that knowledge that I gained at a lot of very large companies and be able to help other companies, maybe ones that don't have a full training department or a full leadership development department, and really help bring them some opportunities to really foster and develop their high potential talent. And so that's what I do on a daily basis, and I love what I do.
So I'm curious, well, I mean, I have to assume, rather, not curious, I have to assume that it's been that sort of boots on the ground experience that led you to say there's a bigger issue here that we need to sort of like call out and talk about, and led to your theories on the exhausted corporate hero. So tell us what that is. Explain to me and to the listeners, what is a corporate exhausted hero? I can imagine, but tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah. The corporate exhausted hero really came from a drawing, like you said, practical experience. I kept drawing the same diagram on the back of a napkin over and over and over again, and it started clicking with people. And so I never really had an intention of writing a book, but it just kept clicking, and I wanted to make sure that I could get this word out to help other people. So the corporate exhausted hero is really, today in the information age, those leaders are also being managers. And they're also continuing to hold on to individual contributor duties that they have. And they're trying to do all three at the same time. And they're probably not doing any of them well anymore. I think about those three things, a leader, a manager, an individual contributor. I think about intersecting circles of those three roles. And in the middle, you're trying to do all three. And that's the exhausted hero. And right now, people are just exhausted from it. And that's really what the model's about.
I'm making a note because I'm going to have to get my husband this book, because he absolutely sits in that space that you're talking about, where he is both an individual, well, not both, but an individual contributor, a people manager, you know, running an organization. He's doing a little bit of everything. So, I mean, I think that definitely rings very real to me and what I'm, you know, have seen in him and just seen in colleagues and even at times experienced myself.
And I think your husband is really normal in that. I think it is just the sign of the times of where we are today. Part of it is our teams continue to shrink at the end of, you know, 2008, 2009, our team shrunk and we put more and more on that person who was really, really good. How do we get them to do more? Mm-hmm. And so we gave them a team, but then we didn't take away their responsibilities, and that just continued to grow and grow. And people who are exhausted heroes often are those individuals that were really good at getting stuff done. And they were really good individual contributors. And then we didn't train them how to manage and lead. So we just kept piling on and piling on. And they got this idea that their job wasn't changing. It was just growing. Mm-hmm. But what really is happening as you become a leader is your job changes. And that's really what this model does, is it helps people see that it's expected that your job is changing as you take on more. And what skills do you need to start growing? And which ones do you need to start minimizing to truly get out of that exhausted hero mode and get into the true strategic leader mode.
And is it the individual themselves that should be recognizing these things and driving this change? Or is there some responsibility on the leader above them to look at their team and say, oof, I got some folks here that I need to like step in and help, you know, sort of navigate this with?
It's both. I talk about this in the book, and there's a whole chapter dedicated to it's both of our responsibilities. And I think that's an important thing right now. As an individual contributor or a leader who is an exhausted hero, it's important to raise your hand to say, I'm exhausted and I need help. Mm-hmm. And being the hero, if you truly are a hero, they will want to help you. They see you as somebody high potential that they want to keep. At the same time, organizations, I think one of the reasons why we've gotten to this place of complete exhaustion and burnout in corporate America is organizations aren't recognizing that exhaustion and letting it continue. Mm-hmm. They're not noticing those executives that are there way past their team at the end of the day. They're not noticing those individuals that are really struggling to make decisions because they're stuck too much in the weeds and they can't see the big picture of what's coming. So it's important that the organization and those high up leaders are recognizing the exhaustion and saying, hold on, you're exhausted. I don't want you to not do as much as you've been doing. I just want you to do more with your team. So how do you achieve it all without doing it all yourself? And I think we can do more to teach our leaders how to do that. And if a leader is in that exhausted hero mode, they need to raise their hand and say, I need to not do it all. Can you help me learn how to not do it all myself?
Yeah. And I think from a sort of corporate culture perspective, the feeling safe enough to raise your hand and ask for help is a really challenging place. I think a lot of people feel like they aren't in environments where that is seen as a positive, that it's a good thing to recognize that I'm being stretched too thin, that I'm not going to deliver the quality of work that you need. So therefore I'm going to ask for help, or, you know, ask for permission to delegate more, things like that. Are you seeing, is that accurate? Is that sort of like a culture shift that has to happen sort of organizationally in step with sort of individually approaching the exhausted individuals?
I think it is a culture shift that needs to happen where somebody can raise their hand and feel comfortable. There are definitely organizations that I've helped that have had that culture already where people feel comfortable talking to their boss about it. And there's some that just aren't. Here's my prediction. I'm making this announcement on your show today. My 2021 prediction is this is the year of the high potential talent bubble bursting. And what that means is I think we're going to see a lot of high potential talent leave this year. And a lot of it is because I think the high potential right now has a lot of opportunities to go other places, has a lot of opportunity to do more remote work. And they're willing right now to raise their hand. They're so exhausted. They're willing to raise their hand to their boss and say, hey, I'm exhausted. I need something to change. I think that's going to happen a lot this year. And from that, I think there are going to be some bosses that are going to step up and say, awesome, let me get you help. Let's develop your skills. Let's get you an executive coach. Let's do things to help you. But I think there are going to be some other bosses that might not be prepared for that conversation. And that high potential is going to leave and go find another high potential job somewhere else.
Do you think that the pandemic has heightened or sped up this popping bubble space? Because I feel like, I think it's exposed, in my opinion, as some of the ugliness of this sort of like, you know, work hard, work harder culture that exists. So I'm curious if you think that's kind of exacerbated things or maybe in a helpful way exposed things to the point where we're going to shift.
No, I think it definitely has. One, the exhausted hero is that person that the organization leans on to help save the business, to help reinvent the business, to help figure out how are we going to do it in a different way. That's who has been leaned on the most over the last year, is those exhausted heroes. And those are those type A individuals that are continuing to take more on to make it happen. So I think, yes, that has exposed it a little bit. I think at the same time, this work from home has kind of also provided an opportunity for people to say, wow, how have I wasted my time in the office? How have I been mistreated at the office before? How am I not getting recognition because my boss can't walk by anymore? And so I'm not getting as much recognition. So I think the exhausted hero, all those components are making the exhausted hero that much more exhausted and that much more aware that things can be different. Things can be in a different way. So I highly encourage exhausted heroes this year to raise their hand to their boss. Don't just walk out the door. It's really about raise your hand and ask a question to your boss. I'm really exhausted. What can we do to make me less exhausted?
So let's say I've raised my hand and I've said that. Are there common challenges or hiccups that happen as we go in that journey of trying to like move out of bad habits or old habits and shift gears a little bit?
When I coach corporate exhausted heroes out of exhaustion and into strategic management, what it really focuses on is four key behaviors. The first one is creating a vision. Are you spending time creating a vision and giving a good future for your team of understanding where you're going? Two, are you influencing change? Are you out front of change, making sure that you can identify where roadblocks are, identifying where key relationships need to be built? Are you getting ahead or are you doing that just in time, which means you're actually reactive? The third one is coaching. Are you coaching your team? Are you helping them think or are you just directing them? Coaching is helping them think through their problems and helping them get better. Directing is here's five things, go get them done, come back to me tomorrow and let me know when you're done. That's a huge one. And then the fourth one is truly delegation. How can you delegate things away to other individual contributors so you can step into that leader role. When I think about stepping in that leader role, those four behaviors is truly what a leader does. A corporate exhausted hero does those four behaviors in their quote unquote spare time, which means they don't really ever do those. And so the more we can push them into that new job of truly leading with those four behaviors and away from doing individual contributor tasks, the more they're going to step into strategic manager roles and the less exhausted they will be and their team will be.
Are any of those behaviors the harder habit to break?
You know, it's different for every individual. There are some that delegation is just really hard for them to take on. Other ones where vision, where they have to spend a lot of time doing research. They have to do a lot of time going to networking events or conferences or different things in the past or attending webinars to really get their mind in a place of a vision. So each one is a little bit different. But the book provides a ton of tools, and through coaching, I have a ton of tools to really make it actionable. How do you truly step into these new behaviors and step out of some other behaviors?
And then what about for those that want to, you know, maybe they are you know, going to be building a team or they're going into an organization and they sort of want to not get into an exhausted space. They want to start off from the get-go setting some good groundwork and foundations for their team. Is it the same process for starting fresh? I don't know how to quite phrase it, but like, you know, if I'm going to come into it and say, I'm going to set the stage right off the bat, like this is how we're going to, these are the behaviors we're going to adopt as a part of our team's culture. Can you do it from the get-go, or is this really more of a response to things that are already happening?
No, I think you definitely can do it from the get-go. The model that I created with the three circles actually lays out seven different roles of an individual over their time period, starting with that taskmaster who just gets stuff done, graduating to that rock star, becoming a clipboard manager and a working manager, moving into maybe an exhausted hero, but hopefully jumping into a strategic manager, and then finally a visionary leader. So the book really walks through that career path and helps understand how behaviors are changing, not only from the standpoint of what behaviors are you taking on, but also what behaviors are you now starting to get rid of because you have to focus on your new job and your new behaviors. There are a lot of organizations I've worked with that have this built into their training programs, into their development, into their job descriptions, where you can really see how those are changing over time. I started with a really great company, Target Corporation, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at their corporate headquarters. There, it was very clear on those levels how your job was changing. What I do a lot of in my consulting side of my business is really helping organizations set up those job descriptions, those levels, and those training programs to help elevate leaders to the right level to really create a great energetic culture instead of an exhausted culture within organizations.
So you mentioned earlier about type A personalities being sort of quintessential. Are there other sort of, you know, typical personality types or things that you see more likely in that exhausted hero space, or could anybody really fall into that trap?
You know, the exhausted hero space, I feel like the type A personality of I want to take ownership, I want to drive, is definitely a key ingredient of an exhausted hero. But I think there's an aspect of realizing that a lot of, I'm a big fan of the Clifton Strength Finder put out by Gallup Organization. And they talk a lot about their strengths. And one of the things that they talk about with strengths is they give you a top five report. And one of the exercises I love doing with groups is realizing that you have more than just one strength. Because when you overuse a strength, it sometimes becomes a weakness. So how do you utilize your top strengths together to be able to move something forward? What I find a lot with corporate exhausted heroes is they pick one strength and they beat the tar out of it. They just use it all the time to a point where it becomes a fault and they just continue to work as an exhausted hero. A really good example, drive results, achieving results. If they just are really good at that, that's what they feel like they need to do to continue to be successful. That's the only way that they're identified. It isn't. They have other top five strengths. So how do we get into their relationship building, their influencing skills, their ability to, you know, be strategic? How do we find those in their strengths and really pull that out of them to step into that leader role?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it sort of, we all do it. We lean on, we sort of have that crutch. That's our mm-hmm. go-to place. Like, oh, I know this works, so I'm just going to keep doing this. But then ultimately it can also lead to our downfall sometimes. So switching gears ever so slightly though, I'm curious. Okay. So I've heard you say that exhaustion is a choice. And as a person who feels exhausted at times, I would love to not take ownership or blame for that and be able to blame the external world around me. But what do you mean by exhaustion as a choice? I mean, actually take a step back. How are you really defining exhaustion? Like, what does exhaustion mean? And then how is it really a choice?
That's a really good question. I think there's a big difference between tired and exhaustion, right?
Yes.
Tired is something short. It's something short term. It's something that happens because of an instant or a day. We all are going to be tired. It happens. Exhaustion is when you feel like, when you keep saying to yourself, it's going to be better next month. The business is going to change next month. Something is going to happen on the external side that is going to make my world better. And then it never does. It just continues to go. That to me means there's a system, there's a process. There is a way that you are working that is causing you to continually be chasing as opposed to getting ahead of it. Mm. From an exhaustion standpoint, if you're in that space where you're losing sleep, where you're having to skip family events, where you are not going to the gym as frequently as you used to, when you find that to be a habitual thing that is now happening, you're in exhaustion. What that means is we have choices. We have choices of what we sign up for. We have choices of what we prioritize. We have choices of what work we take on versus we give to somebody else. And we have choices about what relationships we build. In exhaustion, we often feel like we don't have any of those choices anymore. We can't step above and really see where that exhaustion comes from. So what exhaustion really do, in the book, what I do to point to exhaustion is focus on those four key behaviors. And which one of them are you not spending enough time on, and how do you create that? Oftentimes, corporate exhausted heroes are middle managers. They're in the middle, and they feel like their boss is not prioritizing enough. Their boss is not delegating enough. Their boss is not creating a great vision. But in that real, true middle manager position, that's the first time you're supposed to create the vision. You're supposed to influence the priorities. You're supposed to influence who is doing what work as middle management. And I think that's the thing, as corporate America, we're stopping doing. We're not doing enough training to help those middle managers see that is your new role, is to help prioritize. Stop waiting for your boss to prioritize. Instead, prioritize and let your boss know and see if they have a change in that prioritization. But if you continue to wait for your boss to do your job, you're going to be exhausted.
So I'm wondering if you've worked with any organizations or individuals even that are sort of your, you know, crowning examples of this is where I went in and they were having some very real problems here and we worked through it and we were able to get to the other side. Because I think for people, it helps to have sort of a concrete sort of example in hand to like really understand how this can actually work.
I was working with a manufacturing executive who was at a corporate headquarters, and their boss actually called me in and said, I want to hire an executive coach for this individual because he just isn't stepping in the leadership role. If something's on fire, he continues to take it on. Whenever there's a big problem, he comes into my office 2 days later and says, I don't think I can handle this. I think I need to find a new job. And it was starting to affect his health. He was starting to be put on high blood pressure medicine, et cetera. His team was starting to get discouraged. They felt like they were firefighting all the time as well. And so I came in and started working with this individual to really figure out what was preventing him from delegating and what was preventing him from truly getting out ahead and influencing change. And so we spent 6 months really working together, doing a 360, understanding kind of where his key motivations were, which were keeping him in that exhausted hero mode. And what we really learned was, as a firefighter, he really took on that responsibility of, I need to get it done. And what we worked on was, how do we teach him to be a fire chief instead of a firefighter? The analogy we used together a lot was when a building is on fire, you know, everybody rushes in the fire department to come put it out. But the fire chief actually stops and mobilizes the team outside. They set up a command center. They look at the whole fire, analyze it, and then start sending in crews to put that fire out. What we started to do was start to build command centers for him. Start to build when a fire happened. How do you react? What does that look like? What does your strengths allow you to do? What is it preventing you from doing? And truly started to help him, teach him how to be a command center. Right away, we started to see results. We started to see huge feedback from his boss about different changes of what was happening. He started to lead instead of going in and putting out the fire himself. His team did, and all of a sudden, the fires were becoming less and less because he was becoming more strategic on the front end. Within 6 months of our work, he got promoted to the next level because they started to see him as a leader who could go and lead bigger things. And that's just one example of how we can go in and really help somebody get over that exhausted hero and truly step into that strategic manager role.
Yeah. It feels similar to when, you know, somebody just has that sort of constant sensation of drowning, that they're just in over their head a little bit and they don't feel like they have the tools to get themselves out above it.
They feel like the tools to get above it is work harder and do what I did to get to this role.
Right.
What you did to get to this role is not what we expect of you now. We now expect something different. And that's the piece that the model, when I kept drawing it over and over on the napkin, that's the thing that people got was, oh my God, something is different. I'm expected to have a different job, not a bigger job, a different job. And that just changed a lot of people as they were going to strategic manager.
Well, I think it does, because I think it's one of those things that I guess a lot of people sort of walk through and assume it's implied, but the reality is it's something that actually needs to be explicitly sort of talked about and acknowledged, that we're not just asking you to keep scooping things up. Like, we are asking you to do it differently, to step into a truly new role. Yes, it touches these things you were doing before, but you're touching them in a very different way than you were 6 months ago.
I was recently working with a senior vice president of an organization, and their boss was the COO. And the COO was approaching retirement, was a great leader. And we talked about this from the standpoint of, why didn't they step into this? Why is this so hard for them? And I asked the COO, what was this like for you in your career? And they said, well, I just naturally stepped into this, and this is what I did. And I asked them if they had been through leadership programs. And they said, oh, I went to a leadership retreat with my company and they taught us this and they taught us this. And all of a sudden the light bulb went off. We've been cutting a lot of leadership development programs over the last few years. We've been expecting people to read about it, to take an online e-learning, to do something to just kind of gain those skills through osmosis. And it doesn't really work that way. And so through that COO is realizing, oh, we need to go back and build some of those programs again to get our middle managers ready for the next thing. The metaphor we used within that conversation was awesome. When you think about a 15-year-old who's ready to start learning how to drive, you don't say, well, you've been in the back seat for 15 years. Here's the keys. I'm sure you know how to do it. I mean, can you imagine if that happened, Courtney? What it really is they start going to driver's ed. You start in a parking lot. You start teaching them the different skills, the different things, the different tools that they have, where the gas pedal is versus the brake pedal. It's the same with management. We need to teach them what delegation is. We need to teach them what it is to sit on the other side of the table in a one-on-one and what that role is. Those are things that need to be taught. It isn't something that they just pick up because they're in the back seat of the car.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right. So as we're wrapping up, I just wonder, what would your final thoughts be? Anything that you would want to just be that big headline takeaway for folks that are listening today as they sort of start to digest this information?
It's not too late. You're not stuck. And you don't have to be stuck having your corporate exhausted hero employee be stuck either. It definitely can be something that we can all help with. If you're a senior executive, get your corporate exhausted hero some help. Teach them how to lead, or get an executive coach who can teach them how to lead. If you are a corporate exhausted hero, take some time to really think about what's going on. Evaluate why you're exhausted and have a brave conversation with your boss. The worst they can say is keep going. All right, you're going to be exhausted just like you were. If they get you help, if they get you some additional resources, if they get you an executive coach, maybe life could be less exhausting. There is hope. I've seen it. I've coached it. They've been able to get to the other side. You can get to the other side too.
Awesome. So Mark, if folks want to get in touch with you or to read your book, what's the best path for them?
Yeah, my company name is Game Plan Leader. So you can see me at gameplanleader.com or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. My last name is Height, H-E-Y, D as in dog, T as in Tom. I do a video every single week called the Monday Manager Game Plan, which is a quick tip for managers as they're continuing to learn to manage and get out of that exhausted hero mode. So check that out on my LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, thank you to everyone who joined us today. This was a really insightful conversation. I am heading to Amazon now to shameless plug, buy your book, because I think there's a lot of good information both for me and my husband in there. So thank you again, Mark, for joining us. Thank you for listeners joining us, and we will be talking to you again soon. Bye-bye. That was a great conversation, and hot off the presses, woo-hoo! The IPO bubble may pop in 2021. That is Mark's prediction.
Yes, you heard it here first, HR. You heard it here first.
That's right.
He was a bundle of energy, wasn't he?
He was. That was such a fun conversation. I really enjoyed it. A lot of good information, but just a lot of energy wrapped up around it.
What was like something else that jumped out at you? I was so wrapped up in his, you know, breaking news. I was like, ooh, we're doing great this year. We're breaking news stories here.
Well, I'll be honest with you. He talks about the four behaviors, but what really stuck out to me within that conversation was talking about coaching and how, you know, coaching is not like directing others to do, but really helping them think through how to do something and then letting them go do it. And that for me was like just like a really good aha moment of sort of stepping back and evaluating how I coach my team or it's not just the go do this, but just helping them think through it versus telling them what to do.
Yes, this is going to inspire some dinner time conversations in my house, I think.
Staying in my mirror.
Well, what do you think, dear listener? If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us. You can reach us at Tripod, TRIBEPOD, at proactivetalent.com. We would so love to hear from you. And with that said, Courtney, do you have any additional comments before we wrap this one up?
No, I think we're good.
Great. All right, I'm going to tackle my to-do list now with new fervor.
All right. Enjoy. Bye. Bye.